Much. I realized in my schedule that I was going to preach here on Mother's Day, and so I mentioned that to my wife and said, you know, this will be one of the first times I get to preach to my wife on Mother's Day. I thought, how neat is that? And she went, so I asked Pastor Hall if he would preach, because she takes it better from other people, I think. And I gave her a card this morning of my appreciation, and I was going to use the verse and quote some Bible verses, thought that would be encouragement to her. The verse that came to mind was, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing, but she never enjoys being called a thing. So that wouldn't have worked either. So I think I better just stick to preaching. There are several stories that I came across that some of them have nothing to do with Mother's Day, but some do. A little girl was talking to her teacher about whales. The teacher said it's physically impossible for a whale to swallow a human because even though it was a very large mammal, its throat was very small. The little girl stated that Jonah did get swallowed by a whale. Irritated, the teacher reiterated that the whale could not swallow a human. It was physically impossible. The little girl said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah. The teacher asked, said, what if Jonah went to hell? The little girl replied, then you ask him. You don't want to mess with children. A kindergarten teacher was observing her classroom children while they were drawing, and she would occasionally walk around to see each child's work. As she got to one little girl, she was working diligently, and the teacher asked what she was drawing. The little girl replied, I'm drawing God. Teacher paused and said, but no one knows what God looks like. And without missing a beat, looking up from her drawing, the little girl replied, they will in a minute. One day, a little girl was sitting watching her mother do dishes at the kitchen sink. And suddenly she noticed that her mother had several strands of white hair sticking out in contrast on her brunette head. She looked at her mother and inquisitively, how come some of your hairs are white, Mom? Well, her mother, thinking she'll use this as an teaching opportunity and a training her children, she said, every time you do something wrong and make me cry or unhappy, one of my hairs turns white. Little girl thought about this new information for a while and then said, Mommy, how come Grandma's hairs are all white? Anyway, honor to you mothers. Thank you so much. We read that passage in Proverbs, and some women look at Proverbs 31 and think, it has to be a super mom, a super woman to do all of that. If you look back in Proverbs 31, I underline some of the things that this woman does. It says she bringeth her food from afar. In verse 14, 15, she riseth while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household. 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it. 17, says she strengthens her arms. 18, her candle goeth not out by night. 19, she lays her hand to the spindle. 20, it says she stretches out her hand to the poor and needy. She's not afraid of the snow. Her household is all clothed with scarlet. On and on and on it goes. You got to get the idea that this is some superwoman, isn't it? And so I usually don't read that on Mother's Day because it is depressing. Sometimes we feel like we fall far short of the ideal woman. But I assure you that not everyone, most women and most mothers, are probably not super moms, super women. Most of mothers and women are ordinary folks that have just decided they're going to do the best they can. And that's what God asks. Because in verse 28 that we read, it says, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Notice in these three verses, in these verses that we read, there are three times that it uses the word praise or praiseth. Of course, in verse 28, in verse 30, and in verse 31, it says praise as well. And so the theme of the passage is that because of the labors of a mother and a woman, she deserves our praise. And we honor women today and want them to know that they are respected. They have a great role in life. The verse says in verse 30, it says, favor is deceitful. Favor is the idea of grace and charm. And it says, beauty is vain. The idea is it's empty of eternal value. Because sooner or later, beauty fades. I told my wife I was afraid when she got her eyes redone, because when she saw what I really looked like, she may want to change husbands. Truth is our beauty does fade. But what is enduring value, it says, the woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And so our goal is to, as women, as men, is to be that one that is godly, one that chooses to serve God. And so it's time that we all praise ladies, women that attempt to serve God. And we want to do that today. However, on Mother's Day, I talked with someone the other day, and they said, I go away over Mother's Day because I hate Mother's Day. And at first I was thinking, how can you hate Mother's Day? In fact, she goes to visit her mother because her husband and children are not the kind that would honor her and show respect. And so for her, it's a great disappointment because of that. And so today on Mother's Day, there are women who, this is not a special day for them. Maybe they've lost a mother since last Mother's Day, and this day is no fun for them. There are women who perhaps have gone through serious illness. There may be others who wanted to be a mother, but that has not happened yet. And so for many, Mother's Day is not always as special as we would want it to be. And so today I'm titled, what we want to talk about is that godly women are survivors. Because there are not many super moms that just get everything done on time and everything happens just the way we planned it. Most are survivors. They've gone through difficult experiences, attempted to serve God, have fallen somewhat short, and yet we want to honor them today because they have a purpose in their life to serve God and to do what's right. So I want us to look today at one lady in the Bible who you will be quite familiar with, and you've probably heard lots of messages on Mother's Day, and that's in 1 Samuel, the lady Hannah. Hannah, to me, is an example of a survivor. She is, as we'll see, has gone through a very difficult time and has experienced some of the difficulties of life and yet has gone on to attempt to serve God. And so let's have a word of prayer before we look at 1 Samuel and look at Hannah as a survivor. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today for our mothers. Thank you for all women, those who have given their lives and their purpose to serve others and to serve our God and to serve those that they've been accountable for and they have a role in. We thank you for the training and teaching that mothers have in children's lives, and so great an influence, more than perhaps teachers and pastors and Sunday school teachers. Mothers have a great influential role in the early life of a child, and we thank you for that. I thank you for my mother and the influence that she's had in my life. We honor women today who have not had a perfect life. Their lives have had difficulties, and yet they've survived. They've purposed to become what you want them to be, sometimes through very difficult experiences. And we pray that Hannah would be an inspiration to us today. I believe that's why you recorded it in the Bible for us, that we might know that life you've given us is not always perfect and not always the way you intended it to be. But our faith in you and our walk with you can be. And so help us, Lord, to glean the truths you'd want us to from Hannah this morning. Help us to be open to your truth and truly, Lord, to honor and respect those who've had a great influence in the world today, women in our lives and in the life of your people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hannah has gone through some very difficult experiences. And if we look back at Bible times to understand the setting, our country doesn't allow for multiple wives today. Thank God for that. But in the culture of this text, I see some of you laughing, and I always tell the story. I said, I wouldn't sell my wife for $1 million, but I wouldn't give a nickel for another one. Truth is that God gave us and intended for us to have one. And to love that one and to cherish that one. And as mistakes we make, we love our wives. Thank God for that. But in this culture, if a man married a woman and she did not have children, could not bear children, culture, not from God, but the culture they lived in, it was acceptable to take another wife. And so the man in this Hannah's case was loved by her husband deeply, but could bear no children. And so he married another woman. In chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, it says, Now there was a certain man of Ramathaimai Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, and the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, and Ephraimite. You didn't think I was going to be able to pronounce all those, did you? I probably butchered a lot of them. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And so Hannah is loved by her husband deeply, but is at a disadvantage in their relationship. And so this experience for Hannah, as we'll see in a moment, was a difficult experience. He had two wives. One wife had children, and the other wife belittled her. Look in verse 6. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut her womb. And so Peninnah irritated Hannah because and ridiculed her because she was not able to have children. And in society at that time, that was not only the other wife, but society looked down on a woman who couldn't have children. But it is interesting that it says the Lord shut her womb. So it had nothing to do with her spiritual life or her love for the Lord, but simply it was the Lord's will at that point in their life. But and in verse 8, I read through this, I thought, here's a husband that was not very understanding either. Look at verse 8. He said, Then Elkanah, her husband, said unto him, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is it in thine heart, why is thine heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? That did not bring comfort to Hannah. I fear that we men, me especially, at times there are needs in our wives, and we try to give quick answers, and that should fix it. But that's not really helpful. Sometimes pat answers that seem good to us men have no sympathy, have no understanding of what women go through in life. And certainly, this husband didn't seem to get it as I read that. And I thought about the whole situation at this point. And say, suppose Hannah had retaliated, somehow that she retaliated against the other wife. Suppose she shirked her responsibility and said, listen, if I'm no good, I can't have children, I'm just not going to help out in the household, and had a pity party. what do you think would have happened? Well, obviously, there'd be no story in the Bible, no lesson for us to learn today. There would be certainly no godly example for us to follow. My daddy had a saying. He said, everybody's good for something, even if it is a bad example. But a good example is much better. We can learn from both. But I think that there's a lesson here to say what happened that while she was carrying a heavy load, the Bible says she still was a prayer warrior. And that brings us to our next point, that godly women have come to understand the power of prayer. Look at verse 9 and 10. It says, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness and soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. I don't think that this occasion would have brought out prayer in her life had she not been a prayer warrior, if that hadn't been part of her life, her daily experience. This was serious prayer. It says came from the heart. It was that she wept sore. It is interesting that that prayer, that deep prayer of that she gave, was a lot of things. It was misunderstood, of course, by Eli. But it says she also continued in prayer. Look at verse 12. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. So this wasn't just a short, quick prayer. This was agonizing prayer that she had learned to pray and learned to commit this difficult experience to the Lord. And I would encourage to say, ladies, as you go through difficult experiences, and as we believers go through difficult experiences, we need to commit it to the Lord. And we need to become that kind of person that always goes to the Lord. The other day, something happened at work with my chaplain job, and after it was all over, I kicked myself, not literally, but I realized that, you know, that would have been a time to pray, Binkley. That would have been a real time to say, I need God's help. This was beyond my human ability to understand and to be helpful, and I should have just stopped and prayed. But so many times I end up, after the fact, realizing that I desperately needed God's help, and I thought I could do it on my own. But Hannah seemed to have that understanding to say, I must have God's help to get through this situation. I commit this to the Lord. I'm going to ask God's blessing. And she continued. But also she did vow a vow. Look in verse 11. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on my affliction, thine handmaid, and remember me, and forget not thine handmaid, but wilt give thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. She vows and says, you know what, God, I'm going to promise you, if you give me a man-child, I'll lend him back to you all the days of his life. And it's interesting, and I'm not sure I understand all of that kind of a vow, but it may have been very much like a Nazarite vow where that child is now committed to the Lord, to be used of the Lord in any way, that God chooses to do that. But when Eli, look in verse 12, it says, and it came to pass, she continued praying, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah spake with her in her heart, but only, and her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto him, how long will you be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee. Hannah now defends herself, and Hannah answers and says, no, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, and have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. She had poured out her heart before the Lord, and she wasn't about to let someone think differently about her. As it is interesting, perhaps others during that time may have experienced. She wanted to know, Eli to know, that she was godly and that she was praying for a deep need in her life. Suppose, for a moment, she had not gone along with her husband to worship that day. That is interesting. It was a thought that just crossed my mind, you know, because sometimes Sometimes it's easy to just say, you know what, I'm tired, and we get busy. But suppose because of her lament, because of her difficult suffering experience that she was going through, it would have been easy to say, husband, you go off and worship God. You go to the temple this once a year, and I'm not going to go along and take that abuse from Penina again. But she didn't. Suppose she had not been in the habit of praying. Would have God given her a child? Would the outcome have been different? What happened was, is she was in the habit of praying regularly for God's blessing, and God heard her prayer. Which brings me to the next point, that godly women have experienced God's provision for their life. It is interesting here that she still worshiped God, even though there was no answer. In verse 19, it says, and they rose up in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah, and Elkanah knew his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Just think of all the years that she had prayed. She had committed herself to the Lord. She was determined to be a good wife. She was determined to do what's right, not retaliate. And God provided for her even then. But God provided in a wonderful way with answering her prayer. Godly women do serve God even when there seems like there's no relief or answer for a while. There's a Bible verse that says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. Don't faint. You may be going through a difficult experience, and it may look like there is no good ending to this. We never know how things turn around. We don't know the will of God. We don't know how God's going to answer in a way, in a marvelous way. Job in the Bible had gone through a difficult time and had no idea the war that was going on in heaven and the reason for his suffering, and yet he was faithful to the Lord. And so in truth, God does hear our prayer. God does provide provisions, and God blesses in this case with a child. And she gives him a name that is the name of God. His name is God is the technical definition to the name Samuel. But I'm not sure that she may have used two Hebrew words which sounded like Se'el, which is the word ask in Hebrew, and another Hebrew word is Sama, which is heard. And so if you put those two together, it comes pretty close to Samuel, which she may have understood as saying, I ask, and God heard and answered my prayer. I don't know if that's what she was thinking or not, but the words are so close, it could have been a play on words in that case. But she understood anyway that God had provided, and God does not always answer the way we think or the way we want, perhaps, but he does answer with what's best. Like as a father, it says, who gives good gifts, God always gives the best gifts because they come down from the Father of lights, in whom is no shadow of turning, the Bible says. So God provided for her. And I just want to note this before we move on to our last point. It says, godly women have learned to keep the promises they make. Look in verse 21. It says, and the man Elkanah and his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow, but Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child is weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth good, tarry until thou hast weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. He said, the idea is that, okay, if that's what the Lord's leading you to do, but he said, be sure that you keep your vow. If that's what the Lord is asking you to do, make sure that his word is established. And it's interesting that he encouraged her to keep her vow before the Lord, which I want to emphasize that to say, in our lives, how many times do we desperately pray, God, if you do this for me, I will do this. I will accomplish this. And then as soon as we're blessed, as soon as the prayer answered, it kind of fades into the background what we promised God to do. This was a big step for Hannah because her child that she prayed for and wanted so badly now, she was going to give away, so to speak, that she wouldn't see him daily. It was a big step for her, and yet she was determined to do it. Take seriously the words that are spoken. It's better not to vow a vow, the Bible says, than to vow one and not pay it. God blessed her obedience in a great way. For think with me how who Samuel was. We never know, do we, our children, how our children are going to turn out. We hope, we pray, we beg God, and we want God to use them. But here was an answer to her prayer. And in the end, Samuel was one of the great prophets in likeness to Moses in the Old Testament and used of God greatly in among God's people. And so her giving Samuel back to the Lord, God used that. And how many of us have given our children to the Lord and begged God, said, please use them, and yet don't send them off to Africa. Don't send them away. We want to keep them close to us. And yet, when we truly give our children to the Lord, God can use them. Thank God for children who serve the Lord, whether it's stateside or whether it's as missionaries. Praise God for God using our children. I often tell my wife and tell folks when they say, well, you have good kids. I said, probably in spite of their parents. thank God for that. God was gracious and is using them. But lastly, godly women have developed a grateful heart. I don't want to spend a little bit of time here because this is so important that after God blessed Hannah and after she committed to giving Samuel back to the Lord to be used, she wanted to make sure that everyone knew that she was giving the credit to the Lord. And so in verses, in chapter 2, and verse 1 begins her song of praise and says, Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth and is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. She begins to praise God and say, you know what? I'm going to praise the giver, not the gift. I'm happy that I got a child. I'm happy that God gave me Samuel. And in fact, God gave her more children, I think 5 children, actually. And so she was blessed. But she doesn't praise God as much for the gift in these verses as she does for the giver of that gift, which is an important aspect for us. How many times do we pray and thank God for our health, thank God for blessing us financially, being able to pay our bills, blessing us with good kids, blessing us in a lot of ways. How many times do we pray that way, but we forget to praise the one who gave us the gift? And our God is the one that needs to be praised for his wonderful gift. And she does that here. It says, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My heart is exalted in the Lord. My heart is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none as holy as the Lord. Maybe we should take this pattern for our prayer and say, we ought to start out by just praising God for who he is and understand that God is a good God. Undeserved blessings brought humility and gratefulness in her life. Not only understanding who the giver was, but it says, talk no more so exceedingly proud. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge. By him the actions are weighed. And all the way through down to verse 10, he said, the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of the heavens shall he thunder upon them. And the Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. And so she goes through this long list of ways that God is going to bless and use, is going to use her and Samuel in the life of Israel, and what God has done even in Israel. And so she understands that in humility, God has blessed in spite of who she is. Does it sound like somebody else who prayed that kind of prayer You think of anybody else that God blessed in abundance and in an unusual way, and she expressed a song of praise? Who are you thinking of?
Mary.
And in fact, I just went back, and when I read this, I went back and read in the New Testament Mary's song of praise, and they're pretty similar. I wonder if this didn't inspire Mary when she thought about, you know what, God blessed me in a marvelous way beyond anything I could imagine. I wonder if she didn't, because they knew most of the Old Testament and had memorized it and had studied it as a child. And it seems like this inspired Mary in her song of praise. And isn't it interesting that this song is even inspiring us today? The life of Hannah is an inspiration to us today to say, we can be survivors. Even though we're survivors, we've gone through difficult times, ladies. You can serve God and be faithful in what God asked you to do, even though very difficult circumstances. And Mary certainly here gives the praise and honor to God as she inspires even us today. Suppose someone is watching you today. Suppose your story was written like Hannah's. I know that you would have experiences you could share that would be very difficult, some more difficult perhaps than others. What would the story be written? What would be the emphasis in that story? Would it be worth reading to an outsider? To your family, it would be precious, of course, because they know you. But to an outsider, somebody who doesn't know you, would that story inspire them as a survivor to say, you know what, I can do this. I can serve God through very difficult circumstances that are unbelievable humanly. There really are no super women, or if there are, there are very few in the world today. But what there are is a lot of Marys, a lot of Hannahs, who were humble servants of the Lord, who said, you know what, in a difficult circumstance in which others are going to make fun of me, and by the way, remember, the world did make fun of Mary as well. They thought she thought that she had been unfaithful and made fun of her for having a child out of wedlock throughout her life. That was still the idea among the Jews, that somehow that Jesus was an illegitimate child. And so she experienced all of that and yet was faithful mother and woman, and same with Hannah. So I submit to you today that in reality, most women are survivors. They've gone through difficult experiences in life, have purposed that they were going to choose to be the kind of person that would inspire and would serve God in spite of life not being perfect. And so I honor mothers today and women, because life for you has not always been easy. My wife can attest to that. She's had a husband that's not been perfect. Amen? She's not going to answer that. But in reality, wives have gone through difficult times. And today I want to honor every woman who's a survivor and given their life to say, you know what? Beauty is vain. Favor is deceitful. And I'm going to serve the Lord no matter what. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan. How many have ever heard of him? He's an old-time preacher who inspired many. He had four sons, and all of those sons became ministers. And so when they had a family reunion, a friend asked one of the sons, said, which Morgan is the greatest preacher? That would be tough, wouldn't it? Four sons being there and dad being there. Of course, the sons looked at their father to give the answer. They didn't want to brag on themselves. So, did you ever do that when you get together with your family? They said, which child is the favorite of the family? You know, I'm always the favorite, I think. I think all the other brothers and sisters think they are too. But anyway, they looked at father as, you got to answer this one. His father said, the greatest preacher in our family is our mother, his wife. And that is true. most women have been the greatest preachers to more influenced more people to serve the Lord than most preachers have. And so, women, your role in society, in God's, among God's people, is greater than you can ever imagine, and have influenced generation after generation. In fact, Hannah's life is still influencing us today, isn't it? And our testimony will be, remember your kids tell the stories, don't they? They tell the crazy upbringing they had and the crazy parents they had. They tell their children that, and those stories get passed on, but your influence gets passed on as well. And so thank you, each woman who's determined to serve God and be a survivor. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father,